This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Monday, April 12th, where I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael Kay.
You sat him down for two straight games. You didn't sit down Aaron Hicks.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
What is that?
Good evening to
Alexa
Don.
Sometimes doesn't like what you say.
Good evening to Don.
The Iron Horse was named captain today.
I don't remember. Hold on. Did I have more Dons or more Michaels, Anthony? Oh, one more Michael. And good evening, Michael.
MKPP.
And good evening to myself.
I guess we're standing by in case
I would assume so.
Again, yeah.
I just want to go to that.
Team Gears!
It happens.
That's
to
a
the
low
best
point. That's not something you put on the resume tape.
What, once during WrestleMania, you can hear me saying, I have to go to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time, though. By the way, people are not very bright. A lot of people were watching WrestleMania and tweeting me, Rosenberg, don't have so much to say about WrestleMania. You had a lot to say about that baseball game in Texas last week. Guys, have I actively been saying I don't think there should be any live outdoor events?
No.
I was pointing out that the Rangers game, they filled it to capacity. WrestleMania had maxed out at 25,000 people in a football stadium. I don't know if you guys know this, when you were looking at pictures and it looked crowded, listen, as Michael Kay would say, get close to your radio. Half the stadium was cardboard cutouts. Yeah, it wasn't full. Everyone had room. There was room between everyone in the entire stadium. So I wasn't saying that. But congratulations to everyone at WWE. It was a great time, and the superstars themselves were so excited. People were legitimately emotional about seeing fans back there again after almost a year. Also, congratulations are in order to our former colleague at ESPN. You may know him from MLB Network, Adnan Virk, who tonight will become the lead voice of Monday Night Raw.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Saw him all weekend. Great to see him. He's a great guy. And, you know, really jumping into the, you talk about jumping into the deep end, taking over Monday Night Raw the night after WrestleMania.
Biggest Raw of the year.
That's exactly right. You know, Adnan's 42, been in the game for a long time.
Long time.
And, you know, running point on Monday Night Raw under Vince McMahon is definitely a different sort of animal. I am excited to see Adnan.
It hits different.
It does hit different. It hits different, confirmed. You know who hit different yesterday?
Who?
And, in fact, all weekend hit different. Hideki Matsuyama. And he went on to win the Masters. Pretty amazing. Went into the day yesterday with a big lead. Comes out, bogeys the first hole on Sunday. A lot of pressure. He ends up holding off Xander Schauffele, young Will Zalatoris, and he goes on to win the Masters. Matsuyama's 29 years old. He becomes the first Japanese man to win one of golf's majors.
He really tried to give it back, though.
He really did.
He tried so hard. But Xander Schauffele wouldn't let him because he tried even harder.
Well, that's what golf is, though.
I know.
I mean,
but Peter, it was humbling, though, because, all right, they finished 14. Schauffele's now just two back.
Yep, it was, I think, 14 under and 12 under? Is that what it was?
Yeah, exactly. It's 12 and 10. I think it was 12 and 10. And going in that round, it's over. Just a battle for second. So he's right there. And then doesn't even finish in second. Ends up going a plus three the rest of the way.
Well, he pretty much imploded on, what, the 15th hole? In the drink, he was terrible.
Yeah, he came up like 10 yards short of the green and just rolled right into the water, and that ended Xander Schauffele's hopes.
That was the same hole that had happened to Matsuyama, right? When he went to the water. Was that the same hole?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. That was before when Matsuyama what overdrove and went like 30 yards past the green into the water.
The first contact, it was like a shot out of a cannon.
Let's hear from Andy North, who going into the final round talked about the level of pressure Matsuyama was facing.
There will be more pressure on Hideki tomorrow to win this tournament than anybody who's ever led a major championship. And because in Japan, if he's the Masters champion, it will be worth $1 billion to him over the rest of his career. Think about this. Opening ceremony is the Olympics, and he walks in his green jacket. Uh-huh. It's going to be unbelievable if he wins.
So you think about that. It was an unbelievable level of pressure, but he ended up getting it done. And here's what North said about what Matsuyama ended up showing the world.
Well, I think he showed everybody what he's made of, but the fact is that we play for ourselves, we play for our families. He's out there playing for his entire country. I mean, that's amazing. It's a great, great, great performance on his part. He handled the pressure, and to be able to handle the early start that was really a little dicey and get it back together, he played some beautiful golf in the middle of the round one. And once he got ahead, then he kind of slid in.
Here's the man who was chasing him going into the final round, Xander Schauffele, on Matsuyama's win.
He was something else. He played like a winner needs to play. He's a top-ranked player with a ton of pressure on him, and that's the hardest way to play, and he's able to do it. And he's the first countryman to win the tournament, a major championship. I know his team relatively well, and he kept working hard through all of it. So big kudos to him and his team, and I'm sure a lot of people are having some beers over there.
Now, did you guys see the picture going around social media today of him?
Yes, you actually pointed out on Twitter.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter at Rosenberg Radio. Actually, I took it from Darren Ravel, who posted it. Someone saw Matsuyama at the airport, seemingly connecting through Chicago on his way to Tokyo. Don, did you see it?
I did not. No,
he's sitting in like the waiting area of the gate, just casually chilling in one of those airport seats with his Supreme bag next to him and his green jacket flung over the chair. It's unbelievable. Like, just chilling in the airport with his Masters jacket. So I will say, though, guys, considering it was a Tigerless Masters, I thought there was pretty good buzz around the Masters this weekend. I mean, maybe it was just going into Sunday when we knew that there might be the first, Japanese-born champion. But I thought there was pretty good buzz considering it was a Tigerless event.
I don't live in that world, so I can't agree. But I sit down to do Rangers-Islanders, mm-hmm. and I get there early doing my prep, and Dave comes in. We're doing it out of the studio because the Rangers are on the road. And I sat down like a gentleman with Dave and watched an hour of the Masters.
Did you enjoy it at all?
Did Dave jump on any of Jim Nance's calls?
I'm going to ignore that.
Don, did you enjoy it at all?
I enjoyed it from the standpoint of the competition of, like, because Dave puts it on, and the first thing he says is, this is over. So he's just watching it because of the splendor of
Well, it's watching the end of a Super Bowl.
And he's... he's watching. I'm a sports fan, right? So I'm not interested in the battle for a second. I'm not appreciating the shots. I'm not appreciating how beautiful the Masters looks and Augusta looks. And I agree, it looks great. But then all of a sudden, it's getting competitive. And now it's a 2-shot lead as opposed to a 7. And clearly Matsuyama's struggling. So he can now be had, and as a sports fan, now I can get sucked into that. Yeah, because now you got all the yo-yo stuff out of the way, right? Like how beautiful Augusta looks and the swing. Like, because I'm not a golfer, so I'm not going to appreciate any of that. But now from a sports standpoint, I can appreciate somebody blowing a lead. I can appreciate the pressure he was under. So I got caught up.
Now, Jim Nance, in the interview afterwards, asked him if he really started feeling the pressure on the back nine when things started slipping. He said that he felt immense pressure the entire day. Now, of course, Phil Mushnick might not enjoy that interview because it required a translator. And Matsuyama has been a pro in the PGA since 2013, Don. 8 full years. So obviously someone like Phil Mushnick, he's going to have to lay out, because if you use a translator, obviously it shows you're lazy and don't care. So, but I thought it was a pretty unbelievable moment, and a moment needed for golf, especially after what happened to Tiger this year, that they have a new young superstar, a Japanese superstar. Very, very cool.
Mm. We got to stop with that, though.
Which part? Tiger?
Just constantly fishing for Tiger's replacement. Because that's a pressure that nobody deserves to have to go on. Every time somebody wins the Masters, you know, whether it's Spieth, and now Matsuyama, and it's like, oh, well, now this is what golf has to have with Tiger. I mean, who knows?
Well, you're right. It has happened. I mean, what, Spieth, Rory,
oh, yeah.
Brooks, DeChambeau.
I will tell you this, Peter, and I agree with Mushnick about this, okay? Mm-hmm. It's amazing how they canonize Tiger Woods, and they ignore all of the significant frailties that he has as a human being. I mean, he's the best husband, he's the best father, he's the best son. I mean, really? Nobody else? Tiger Woods is put on this, there's a deification of Tiger. Why can't we just say, you know what, he was a hell of a golfer.
Well,
we
who does
deify
that?
Him?
Hold on, but here's why I disagree with Phil. Who really says Tiger is a great anything besides golf?
Oh, they make him out to be the great. I mean, just a significant person
in
human history.
He is.
No, as a golfer, he is.
But that's
not
it.
Not as a person. He's deeply flawed.
But who's not?
But that's cool. But don't deify him.
But I just want to know who actually deifies him beyond his athletic prowess.
Oh, if you listen to the way people talk about him, they put him on a level of, like, specialness that has more to do about, like, the person he is than the golfer he is.
Michael, I genuinely think you're one of the smartest people I've ever known. You are dead wrong.
Don, do you think they deify this guy?
I since the incident a few years ago? Not since then. I don't know how you do that since then. Now, how it was before then, I'm sure everybody was, like, hoping for the perfection. But really, since...
Don't
the
you think, Don, it's just about the golf?
Moment, I don't think anybody's really done that anymore.
They deify him as a talent. But I mean, Tiger is Michael Jackson. He showed up on the scene at 3 years old and has been a god ever since. So I agree with you.
For those that deify Michael Jackson's music and ignore the fact how deeply flawed as a person he was, that's also not right.
But I don't think anyone does that either. Like, I mean... Listen, I hear what you're saying because the tone of the way they talk about him is, including
myself.
It's almost
in hushed tones.
I mean,
like you're talking about a god.
He made people feel differently about the game than anyone else has, for whatever
reason. I'll give you that. You're absolutely right, he did. But, you know, he also screwed his life up a lot.
But to me, that's you almost say that like it's a negative. To me, in terms of when you cover Tiger Woods, now it's part of the story. He's an intriguing character. He's very flawed. He, at this point, is... I mean, man, he's beyond human now. He's gone through it. And a lot of it's self-induced. So,
no, all of it's self-induced.
Well.
Every bit of it.
I mean, you don't know everything about everyone's story. But, yeah, most of it is. Although I would still argue Tiger Woods did not. For anyone who has not walked in his shoes to truly judge his life, I think is very hard. That is not a man
not
who had a chance.
Why he made these mistakes. But he made them.
He did.
I mean, there could be deeper issues why these mistakes were made. I'll give you that 1,000%.
But he made
these mistakes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We talked earlier about Aaron Hicks, who is going to be out of the lineup tonight for the Yankees. His mind is what's going on with the social unrest over the police killing of a black man in Minnesota. Here's manager Aaron Boone on why Hicks isn't starting tonight.
Yeah, he's just, with all that's going on in Minneapolis, you know, he's having a tough time right now. And, you know, had a conversation in my office and he just felt like it was best to not be in the starting lineup tonight. And I certainly support that. And, you know, try and rally around him the best we can. And obviously the situation that, you know, is heartbreaking right now and in Minneapolis. And I think, you know, it's hit Aaron particularly hard.
And there was some doubt for a while, Peter, that Stanton might pull himself out of the lineup too.
Is this happening across other teams and sports?
I have not seen it anywhere else.
Here's Boone going on to talk about wanting to support Hicks.
Aaron's hurting in a huge way, and I think in a way felt like it was probably the responsible thing to take himself out, and knowing that it was going to be hard for him to be all in mentally in what's, you know, a high stake, difficult, you know, job to go out there and perform for the New York Yankees. And so I don't really even give two thoughts to that. My consideration is with Aaron and his well being and, you know, making sure that, you know, as best we can, we support him and you know, try and be there as best we can for him right now. So this is something in the immediate that's real emotion that he's feeling. And right now I'm going to support that.
Hicks was drafted, of course, to the Minnesota Twins back in 2008 and started to play in the bigs for them in 2013.
At least we know that that's the reason, right? Didn't leave the any speculation like with the Kyrie stuff. We know.
Yeah, the Nets aren't playing today, and Kyrie, even before today, it was said that he was not going to play today for personal reasons.
But we don't know what that personal reason.
We have no idea what those are.
Let's go to the other side of town, Queens to be exact. Luis Rojas was asked about, after yesterday's rain fiasco, when will Marcus Stroman start again?
5 days. Friday he'll be back. We did talk to him. He wants to do his in-between start routine again and come back Friday. We're TBA for Wednesday right now. We'll see what we have available after playing the first two games tonight and tomorrow. So, or if anything that can come in and be placed for that day. So we have Peterson and Walker right now.
Wait, what's that, Luis? Update.
So Stroman played catch and he felt good. And he said that he can go tomorrow. So he's going to go game two. We're going to have a Walker game one and Stroman game two, and Peterson's going to go Wednesday as of now.
So there you go. Rojas was asked, what changed for Stroman?
As I revealed to you guys in our earlier call, he was going Friday, and he wanted to stay in his routine. So he went out, he played catch, and he felt good. And once again, we want the guys to be out there being the best version of themselves. So for him to come and talk to us about that, about feeling good and going out there and pitching, you know, in a doubleheader scenario like we're having now, I think it's great to hear. So, you know, I'm glad he's stepping up for the team and doing this.
And doubleheaders are seven innings still, so, you know, he probably thinks to himself, well, let me pitch it a doubleheader so the bullpen doesn't have more innings to mess it up.
Let's take a moment, guys, and go back to Super Bowl 51.
Here's Edelman broken up, and the pass is no sign yet. Edelman comes down with a football, and they're saying it's a catch. And we'll get another look at this. Alford knocked it up into the air, and let's see who comes down with it. Oh, that's a catch.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Well, Julian Edelman is calling it a career. It was rumored earlier that he didn't pass a physical for the Patriots. Well, now it has been announced. He made a statement earlier, a video that's been going around. Julian Edelman done in the NFL. He's turning 35 next month. He was limited to 6 games last season because of chronic knee issues. His entire 12-year career with the Patriots and ranks second in NFL history with 118 postseason receptions, only behind Jerry Rice's 151.
So when does he end up in Tampa Bay?
Probably, I would say halfway through this year.
That would be, well, he'd have to change his mind. I remember the first, might have been one of the first games he played. It was a Jet game at the Meadowlands, and he came in, I think, for an injured Wes Welker. Welker wasn't playing, and I'm like, God, he's the same guy.
Yeah, except turns out much better.
And he ends up having this amazing career that, you're right, turns out to be better.
And that will do it for ENN on this Monday. And, yes, I did pull a Sid Crosby from the box.
So good to have you back safely from WrestleMania. Great job this weekend, Peter.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in a moment right here on 98.7, you're going to have Chris Carlin. And on the YES Network, the pregame show for the Yankees and the Blue Jays, Garrett Cole on the mound for the Yankees, 7 o'clock start. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.